only intensified by the equally general feeling that no one else could have committed the crime. From the judge downward, all connected with the case were pestered for days beforehand with more or less unwarrantable applications for admission. And when the time came, the successful suppliant had to elbow every yard of his way from Newgate Street or Ludgate Hill to pass three separate barriers held by a suspicious constabulary, to obtain the good offices of the under-sheriff through those of his liveried lackeys, and finally to occupy the least space on the narrowest of seats in a varnished stall filled with curiously familiar faces, within a few feet of the heavily veiled prisoner in the dock, and not many more from the red-robed judge upon the bench. The first to take all this trouble on the Monday morning, and the last to escape from the foul air shot by biting draughts when the court adjourned, was a white-headed gentleman of striking appearance and stamina to match, for, undeterred by the experience, he was in like manner first and last upon each subsequent day. Behind him came and went the well-known faces, the authors and the actors with a semi-professional interest in the case. But they were not well known to the gentleman with the white head. He heard no more than he could help of their constant whisperings, and if he knew not at whom he more than once had occasion to turn and frown, he certainly did not look the man to care. He had a well-preserved reddish face, with a small mouth of extraordinary strength, a canine jaw, and singularly noble forehead. But his most obvious distinction was his full head of snowy hair. The only hair upon his face, a pair of bushy eyebrows, was so much darker as to suggest a dye, but the eyes themselves were black as midnight, with a glint of midnight stars, and of such a subtle inscrutability that a certain sweetness of expression came only as the last surprise in a face full of contrast and contradiction. No one in court had ever seen this man before. No one but the under-sheriff learnt his name during the week, but by the third day his identity was a subject of discussion, both by the professional students of the human countenance who sat behind him, balked of their study by the prisoner's veil, and among the various functionaries who had already found him as free with a sovereign as most gentlemen are with a piece of silver. So every day he was ushered with ceremony to the same place at the inner end of the lowest row. There he would sit watching the prisoner, a trifle nearer her than those beside or behind him, and only